Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to talk today about the blood of Jesus. This is a continuation of the message that I started last week, and it's a continuation of the divine transfer of Jesus' payment for our sins, of how he shed his blood and he made the payment for our sins with his own precious blood. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, if you love the Lord Jesus, you know what I'm talking about already. But if you've never accepted him, if you're just a baby believer, and or maybe you're in the unbelieving world and you're just curious, you're just listening today out of curiosity, and you're not sure what this death on the cross is all about, that and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I just want you to know that God loves you very much. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his very own cherished Son. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And so God loves you. He cares about you. You may not think God cares about you, but he is with you today. He is with you. If you're listening to me today, you can be assured that God loves you, that he cares about you, that the transaction that was made on your behalf, that the blood that was shed for you was for your salvation, it was for your healing, it was for your deliverance, it was for your eternal freedom, and that blood that was shed was a very precious sacrifice by Jesus Christ. It was a very high price that he paid, but he did it because he loves you, and he loves you very much. And maybe some of you listening to me today, you may not have had love from your earthly father or from your earthly mother, or people here on this earth may have rejected you, may have caused you a great deal of grief and sorrow, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you in every situation, in every circumstance. He will be there for you. He loves you. He cares about you. And the divine plan that God has for your salvation, that divine plan, it is available to you this very day if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never accepted that divine transfer of his blood to cover your sins, I want you to know that today, this day, that you can have that gift of eternal life, that you can receive that gift of eternal life. All you have to do is accept Jesus, reach out and take his hand, and let that work of the Holy Spirit work in your heart and convict you of your sins, and reach out and take that precious gift, and you will be set free, you will be delivered, you will be healed, and God will love you all the rest of your days here on this earth and through all eternity as you spend your days with him. Well, in Luke 22:42, I want to talk to you about the seven different ways, and in the Bible, seven is the number of completion. It is the number of perfection, and seven different ways that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you. The first way that Jesus shed his blood for you was he shed drops of blood. He sweat drops of blood in the garden when he was praying for you, when he was considering the cross and the pain and the suffering that he was going to have to go through. Wet his own drops of blood onto the ground in the garden as he was interceding for you and for me and for all mankind. Luke 22:42, Luke describes it this way. Jesus said in the garden, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, that this sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then in verse 43, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And so I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ paid a tremendous price. He knew that he was going to be suffering in great agony. He knew he was going to be suffering unspeakable torture and unspeakable horrors. And he knew the death on the cross. He'd seen other people crucified, and he knew that the death on the cross was a horrific, agonizing, slow death. And so he was not anxious to do it in any way. He was not looking forward to it in any way. He was even asking the Father, "Father, if there is any way that I can make the transaction without having to go through the death on the cross. And I'm sure any of us in our humanity, just as Jesus in his humanity, any of us would have been speaking the same words. We would have been asking the same question. Father, is there any way that we can escape this death on the cross, that I can escape this death on the cross? And of course, we know that many martyrs are beheaded and Christians are under great persecution by terrorists this day and these days. And so we know that this persecution may be coming to us. And I want you to prepare yourself, brothers and sisters, and think about the suffering that Jesus Christ went through, the agony that he went through, the torture that he had to endure for your sake, for my sake, that we could know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so he was agonizing, and that was the first way that he shed his blood for you, was through his prayers in the garden as he was contemplating what was to come. Well, Matthew 26, verse 67, it tells us the second way that Jesus' blood was shed. It says, they spat in his face, and they beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, who is the one who struck you? And they spat on him and struck him. And then in Isaiah 52, verse 14, it says, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage or his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so we know that Jesus Christ was beat in the face, his beard was plucked out, his face was spat upon. He suffered immensely by people that just wanted to see him in pain and see him if he would defend himself. And so that is the second way that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you. He was bleeding from his face before he ever went to the whipping post. He was bleeding from his face. His face was marred in appearance more than any man, there it tells us in Isaiah. So that is the second way. And he was then ordered by Pilate to be scourged. And this is the third way that he shed his precious blood for us. In Matthew 27, verse 26, it says, then he released Barabbas, that is, Pilate released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And of course, we know that the scourging was a very, very painful torture. It was a very painful punishment. The Jews received 39 lashes. That is the near death, the Romans called it. They received 39 lashes. This cat of nine tails was lashed across their back, and it had shards of glass or shards of pottery or shards of sharp objects, bone, tied into the cat of nine tails, and as it was lashed across their back, it ripped into their flesh, it ripped into the rib cage and the sides of their body, and ripped into the back and across their chest, and it pulled that flesh, and it just ripped and tore the flesh. And so Jesus Christ shed his precious blood because he went to the whipping post, he went to the scourging post on our behalf, that we could be healed. It tells us in Isaiah 53:5 that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed, or by his scourging we are healed. And so I claim that for myself. Many times I have been sick. God hasn't always healed me 100%. But I thank him anyway for the healings that I have received. I thank him for the scourging that Jesus took on my behalf. And I pray, when I pray for healing, when I ask the Lord to touch me with his healing power, I thank the Lord that Jesus Christ took the scourging on my behalf. I thank the Lord that Jesus Christ shed his blood at that whipping post for my sins and for my healing. And on my behalf, then, I can walk forward in victory. Well, the fourth way that Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us, there was a crown of thorns woven and pushed down upon his head, and these were big thorns, like 2 to 3 inch thorns that were pushed down into his head. And in Matthew 27:27, it describes this situation. It said, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And so when they put this crown on his head, it was a mocking incident. It was a situation where they mocked him because they said that he was the King of the Jews, that he claimed this about himself, that he was the King of Jews. And Jesus, only in rare circumstance did he ever actually claim that he was the Christ, the Messiah. Most of the time he did not. He told the people that he healed, do not divulge what has happened to you, do not divulge. And most of them went out and shared it right away anyway. But Jesus Christ was mocked because they were actually mocking him because he claimed that he was the King of the Jews. And when they put the sign up over him on the cross, it said, here is crucified the King of the Jews. And so that is the fourth way that Jesus shed his blood for us, the crown of thorns. And this crown was pushed down into his skull. It was pushed down into the temples of his head. And so he was bleeding profusely from his head and down across his face. Well, the fifth way that Jesus shed his blood for us, in Matthew 27:35, it says, Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Well, the way that they crucified him was they laid him down on this wooden cross. They laid him down, and they drove big spikes through his hand, 60-centimeter spikes. And so that is the fifth way that Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us, was the spikes were driven through his hands. The nails in his hands tells us how much he loves us. The nails in his feet tells us how much he loves us. And that is the sixth way, that when they drove the spike through his feet, then his feet were lapped over each other, and another 60 to 70 centimeter spike was driven through his feet, and so the blood gushed out from his feet. And that is how the person alive on the cross was, that they could push up off of this spike that was in their feet. They could push up and keep continuing to catch a little bit of breath. They would push up as the day wore on. They were able to catch a little bit of breath and continue to stay alive. And so the torture was continued. The torture was drawn out that way. They could pull themselves up a little bit with the spikes in their hands, and they could push up with the spike in their feet. And so the torture was drawn out. It was not immediate. It was drawn out, and therefore much more painful and much more of a torture that way. It was not an immediate death, which would have been a lot more humane in the way that they killed him. And then the seventh way that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, in John 19:33, it says that they pierced his side with a spear. The soldiers came around. They were going to break his legs, and they broke the legs of the thieves on either side of him. But Jesus Christ had already passed away, or passed on at that point in time. His spirit had already been given over to the Lord God at that time. And so in John 19:33, it tells us, But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. So they rammed this spear up his side into the cavity around his heart, and there was water and blood that came out of him and gushed onto the ground, ran down that spear, and saturated the ground. And that was the final way that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you. And John tells us in verse 35, the Apostle John, he tells us in verse 35 of John 19, And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he, John, knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. And so John, the Apostle, the one whom Jesus loved, was an eyewitness to that fact. He was an eyewitness to the crucifixion. And so the recounting of the things that he saw, the scene that he saw, the recounting of that was by an eyewitness. And John says, this man, the eyewitness, is telling the truth so that you may believe. Well, Zechariah 12:10 is a prophecy we have from the Old Testament. And Zechariah says in verse 10 that they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And so that was a prophecy by Zechariah hundreds of years before Jesus Christ went to the cross, hundreds of years before Jesus died for you. And so the crucifixion was prophesied. The crucifixion was hundreds of years before Jesus Christ went to the cross. It was predicted, and every jot and tittle, every Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled 100%. Every jot and tittle of the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, literally. And the prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled regarding his second coming, regarding his coming again, setting up his millennial reign and his kingdom here on this earth, they will also be literally 100% fulfilled. And so I just pray, brothers and sisters, if you accept the promise that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, if you accept the promise that he shed his precious blood for you and that he did it so that your sins would be remitted, that you would have remission of your sins, that you would no longer be burdened by your own sin, if you accept that promise, if you accept that gift, then God has for you a great walk here on this earth. He has a great calling on your life and a destiny for you that he will start to reveal to you, and he will bless you as you trust him with the promises that he has for you today, and he will bless you with the promises that he has for you in the days to come. Well, I'm going to talk just a little bit here in closing about the transaction itself, what Jesus did with his blood. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it tells us, For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus Christ went to the cross that we could know righteousness. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he took our sin that we could know the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so I implore you today, be reconciled to God on Christ's behalf. I speak on behalf of Jesus Christ. I am standing in front of the Lord, and I ask him to impart in me his words. I ask him to impart in me the honor to speak his words over the radio, to speak his words on the platform in a crusade or a revival or in the prison. I ask him to anoint me and give me the authority to speak for him. And I take it very seriously. I pray for this radio broadcast that I would speak the words that would be the words of Jesus Christ as I stand in and I am an ambassador for him. Well, in Hebrews 9:7, it talks us about the covenant, the new covenant that was initiated by Christ's blood. That is the new covenant, the new way, the new and living way that was initiated by the blood of Christ. In Hebrews 9:7, it speaks about the old covenant. But into the second part, the Holy of Holies, the high priest went alone once each year, not without blood, which is offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Well, if you have read through the Old Testament, you know that every year the high priest went into the inner sanctum of the temple or the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, that he went into the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, and he presented blood for the sins of the people. He presented the blood of goats and calves, and he presented that blood for the sin of the people to make restitution and payment, to pay the ransom for their sins, but he had to keep doing that year after year. He had to continue to do that year after year because the blood of animals was never sufficient to cleanse their sins for all time. And so Jesus Christ became that precious lamb. He became that precious sacrifice. He became that precious offering to the Lord through his death on the cross, that our sins would be forgiven, and not only your sins and my sins, but the sins of all mankind, and everyone who receives, everyone who accepts the precious gift of his blood, receives that precious gift so that their sins can be covered. And so in verse 2 it tells us in Hebrews 9, but Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. And verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And then in talks about the blood of bulls, comparing to the blood of Jesus Christ in verse 13, for the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of flesh. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, that's Hebrews 9:14, and it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then in verse 24, Hebrews 9, it says, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands. In other words, he didn't go into the temple and the tabernacle with his blood, which are the copies of the true, but he went into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So Jesus is coming back. He presented his blood to the Father into heaven itself, and the precious blood that he presented is sufficient for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. It's sufficient for you today. Some of you out there today may be saying, well, Jim, I've been a terrible sinner. I've done so many wretched, awful, terrible things, and you can't even imagine what all I've done. Yes, that may be true. I don't even want to know. I've got my own score sheet and my own record of the sins that I've committed, and you can be assured, you can rest assured that your sins are blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you come to him, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your sins are blotted out by him, and he remembers your sins no more. He has forgot them as far as the east is from the west. And so as you stand before him, you're no longer condemned for the sins that you've committed. You are cleansed. You are washed clean. You are set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is receive that precious gift today and say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to be set free by you. I want to be free from the bondage and the shame of my sin and the sorrow of my pain. And as you do that today, he will be faithful and true to set you free. He will be faithful and true to give you the promises of eternal life, the promise of the kingdom of God in your life here on this earth and for all eternity. Well, brothers and sisters, it's a precious gift. It's a precious transaction. I hope you take advantage of it today. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, I hope you take advantage of it today. And I hope you accept him, receive him into your heart. Get down on your knees and do business with the Lord. Turn from your wicked ways, repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you, and he will be faithful and true to raise you up into a newness and a new life, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.